We present The Doomed Oasis by Hammond Innes, adapted in 6 parts for radio by René Basilico, and starring Tim Munro as George Grant. The Doomed Oasis, Part 2.
Yes, sir?
Middle East Airlines, 7 of us. One night stopover standard.
Ah, yes. Here we are. Rooms 44 to 50, sir.
Thanks. Where's that, 7th floor?
That's right. Can I help you, sir?
Yes, where can I get some breakfast?
In the coffee bar. Round to the right.
Ah, yes. Thank you.
You are very welcome, sir.
Buongiorno, Signor Grant.
Mr. Ruffini, you're worse than a bad penny.
I'm a journalist. What would you expect?
And you, my friend, how are you after your adventures last night, eh? Was she... you know, this girl from the Almensa Club?
No. No, there was nothing like that.
Oh, please, Signor Grant. I was just joking.
Oh, yes. Well, she was more or less what you'd led me to expect.
And what was it she wanted to say to you, eh?
Very little, really. Though she did talk about trouble brewing between the Emir of Had and the Sheikh of Sarefa.
Well, you don't have to go to the Almensa to find out that. I told you yesterday, if you remember.
Yes, but you didn't tell me the Emir was shipping in Russian guns from Iraq.
She told you this?
Yes, though how on earth a girl like that comes to hear of these things?
How do you think, Signore? She will see many men, and sex will often loosen the tongue.
Yes, but can you believe what she says?
Oh, it's probably as reliable a source as any other.
How does one get served in this place?
Well, you help yourself.
Just want coffee and a roll.
Have the orange juice. The coffee is disgusting.
Yes, well, forewarned, I suppose.
Do you want the other roll?
Yeah, help yourself.
Thank you. You know, Signor Grant, the more I think about it, the more I am intrigued.
Why should you be?
Why should this girl have asked to see you, to tell you these things? You, an English lawyer, out here on lawyer's business.
That's right.
Or is there more? Are you not what you say you are?
I am a lawyer, I assure you. And that's the only reason that I'm here.
See.
But there's obviously something in the wind.
It will be oil, of course. There is never anything else. Where there's oil, there is politics. And in this part of the world, Signor Grant, where there's politics, there is oil, believe me.
But is there oil in Sarefa or in Had?
Not at the moment, as far as anyone knows.
But. There is a but, isn't there?
Maybe. The talk in the bazaars is that Colonel Whittaker has been shipping in drilling equipment for months. You know about Colonel Whittaker, no?
I was reading about him on the plane.
Yes, I remember that report on the death of his son.
The Colonel seems to be something of a latter-day Lawrence of Arabia.
Well, it's a good comparison. He's a very special man. A man with an obsession, a theory. You have heard of the Whittaker theory?
Vaguely.
Your romantic English colonel believes that the great oil fields which run in a crescent from Iraq to Bahrain and beyond will continue under the Jebel Mountains and reappear in Sarefa or thereabouts.
And you believe he's still trying to prove this theory?
I think the Emir of Had believes that Colonel Whittaker has already proved it.
And that's why he's preparing for war?
If what the girl from Almensa says is true. Anyway, it's a great headline.
What is?
The War of Whittaker's Theory.
Really, Ruffini?
Excuse me. Either of you two blokes George Grant by any chance?
Yes, me.
Otto Smith, chief pilot of the Gulf Oman Development Company's private airline, better known as the Flying Dustbins. Both of them.
George Grant.
How are you?
And this is Alessandro Ruffini. Be careful, he's a journalist.
How do you do? G'day. Mr. Grant, I've got a seat for you on this morning's flight to Sharjah. Well, you still want to go, don't you?
Yes, of course, but I haven't got a visa.
Don't worry, it's all been fixed.
But I was told it wouldn't be possible.
Yeah, well, let's just say that Gulf Oman moves in mysterious ways.
You know, we have a saying in Italian, my friend. Mangia e ringraziare. Eat and be grateful.
What can I say? Thank you.
Don't thank me, I'm only the chauffeur. Thank Urquhart or whoever.
Alexandra Urquhart?
He's the big wheel out here. Take off at 10, I'll pick you up here in an hour.
Fine, thanks.
See you later then.
What are you staring at?
You, my friend, I'm beginning to get just a little bit very suspicious.
Suspicious? Of me?
Mm-hmm. This young English lawyer who comes to Bahrain one day and is refused the visa, and the very next day has both a visa and an aeroplane trip provided by the mighty Gulf Oman Company.
I had no idea.
And who still maintains that he has nothing to do with oil.
I swear to you, Rufini.
Oh, sure. Everyone swears to journalists. That's why newspaper stories are always true.
Beware, my friend. Your facade of innocence is beginning to look as crumpled as an old suit.
I'd better go and pack a toothbrush.
Yes, do that. And, Signor Grant?
Yes?
Try to remember one thing.
What's that?
If you tell the truth, and you are what you say you are, you must be very careful. Everybody else in this part of the world wears two faces.
Does that include you, Rufini?
Who knows? Arrivederci presto.
Well, I'll see you.
Speriamo.
What's that down there?
Dubai. You never been out here before?
No, first time.
Let's take a closer look then. Show you the sights. There you are, the Venice of Arabia.
Yes, I see what you mean. What are all those towers?
Wind towers. It's a type of air conditioning system.
God.
Yeah, thousands of years old, too. Supposed to have come from Persia originally.
Incredible. How long to charge you?
About 10 minutes. You've been booked in at the fort, if that's all right.
I expect so. You got time to have lunch with me?
Right not. I could probably manage to sink a couple of beers, though.
You're on.
Oh, God, I needed that.
Another?
You bet, if I can catch the boy's eye.
Ah, you've obviously got the knack.
Endless hours of training. Two more beers, please.
A very good sir.
Not a bad place, really.
Better than I expected, I must say.
Used to be a desert fort before the airlines discovered it. It's more or less a transit hotel now.
How long have you been out here?
With the company, you mean?
Mm.
9 years. Bit under, maybe.
You must like the work.
I wouldn't go back to a regular airline, if that's what you mean. Too bloody boring by heart.
I can imagine. Have you ever been to Sarefa?
Not since the company gave up the concession.
When was that?
3 or 4 years ago. It was the night Colonel Whittaker's son arrived from England, funnily enough.
Really?
Yeah. I'd flown Sir Philip Gord in to break the news to Sheikh Muhammad that the company weren't going to renew the concession. It was the last job he did before Urquhart took over.
Was Colonel Whittaker there too?
Oh, I'll say. He was raving, abso-bloody-lutely raving. Kept picking up the Koran and swearing his life on it that he'd get even with Urquhart.
Why Urquhart? Why not Gord? He was the senior, wasn't he?
Not then. Urquhart was the new broom. One of those smart-aleck city accountants that reckon you can know all about oil without knowing about Arabs. If it wasn't for Urquhart, they'd still be drilling in Sarefa.
My information is that Colonel Whittaker still is.
On his own account, maybe. But the company's operation's been gradually wound down. Jack Entwistle's team's about all that's left.
But what about David Whittaker? Where did he fit into all this?
Oh, he didn't really. He filled in for Jack a few weeks back when he had jaundice. But that was only temporary.
I see. How well did you know David?
I only ever met him that once, and like I said, he was just out from England. All that way, and then his father refused to acknowledge him.
I don't suppose you have any idea what happened to him after that. David, I mean.
There's no secret about it. He did what his father did 20-odd years ago. He went native. Spent most of his time in Sarefa with Khalid, Sheikh Muhammad's son.
Doing what?
Hunting, hawking, whoring. All the usual things.
But at some stage, I thought he started working for his father.
Oh, you could say that. They certainly buried the hatchet eventually.
Yes, but was or was he not working for his father?
Oh, on and off. The old buzzard might even have paid him something. But David has always belonged to Sarefa. The sand got into his soul.
Your beer, sir.
Oh, you've taken your time.
Yes, sir.
How much is it?
No. It's my shout.
Oh.
Look, I think you better bring another.
One more beer, sir?
Please. That's Chuck Berry just rolled in.
Who?
Chuck Berry, in the khaki uniform. He's giving you a lift to Dubai this evening.
Dubai?
Yeah, it's only 12 miles away. Tarmac Road.
Yes, but what? I'm here to see Sir Philip Gould.
Does he know that?
I don't know. Why? What's the problem?
Well, I was told you wanted to see Whittaker's sister. She's nursing in the hospital there, isn't she?
Yes, but Sir Philip's my first priority.
Urquhart laid this Dubai trip on specially.
Oh.
Oh, g'day, Chuck.
Hello there. It's our hitchhiker.
George Grant, legal eagle from England.
Hello.
Captain Jim Berry of the Crucial Omen Scouts.
Everyone calls me Chuck.
Nice to meet you.
You're staying at the fort, I presume?
Yes.
I'll pick you up around 6, if that's all right.
Fine, thank you.
There's a beer on the way, Chuck.
Paid for, I trust?
Of course.
My God, Mr. Grant, you must be really important to get Otto's hand out of his pocket.
Ah, poor Shaw. Anyway, he is important. At least boss man Urquhart seems to think so.
Not really. The only reason I'm here in charge is to meet Sir Philip Gould.
Well, you're going to be unlucky, sport.
But Mr. Urquhart told me he was due in charge this week.
He was, but he isn't anymore.
Well, where is he?
On his way to Bahrain.
Does Mr. Urquhart know that?
Of course. It was Urquhart that told me.
Hi there. You all set?
Yeah.
Climb in, then.
Ah, thanks.
So, Dubai it is.
Dubai it is. Unless you can think of a way of getting me to Bahrain.
There's a flight out on Thursday.
Yes. I know.
By the way, we've got a 3-tonner coming back here from Dubai in the morning. I've arranged for it to stop by the hospital and pick you up.
That's very good of you.
No problem. You'll be ready by 8, okay?
Right.
Miss Whittaker does know you're coming, doesn't she?
Yes, I phoned through this afternoon.
Good.
By the way, any suggestions where I might get a bed for the night?
There's bound to be a room for you in the hospital somewhere. As long as they don't try and take your tonsils out in the middle of the night, you should be laughing. She's a pretty thing, by all accounts.
I'm here on business, Chuck.
And they say soldiers lack imagination.
Chuck, is it true there's some sort of trouble brewing out in the desert?
There's always trouble out here. Like there's always sand. What makes you ask?
Oh, just rumours.
There's always rumours, too.
It's just that I heard about some sort of border dispute between Serafa and Han.
Oh, that's real enough. Every time the wind blows, the ruddy border moves. It's the sort of thing that Hadge Whittaker would have settled personally in the old days.
What, Whittaker?
Hadge. It's what the locals call him.
Oh.
Because he's made the pilgrimage to Mecca, presumably. When he was with Gulf Oman, the sun shone out of his backside as far as the Arabs were concerned. Now that Gulf Oman's cut the connection, he's seen as Serafa's man. The other sheiks are never certain which face he's showing them.
Have you ever met Colonel Whittaker?
No, never. Black-hearted old buzzard, by all accounts. He sports a black eye patch, you know. The way Otto tells it, he's got no sight in one eye and no sympathy in the other.
Sounds pretty definitive.
It is. But he's all soldier, apparently. Even under a galabeah, he looks like a guardsman on parade. That's the trouble, I suppose. You never know whether he's thinking like a Brit or a Bedouin.
Like his son.
Sorry, I'm not with you.
Oh, no, no, it doesn't matter.
Yes. Well, that's the hospital up ahead.
Mr. Grant?
Miss Whittaker, I presume.
Susan, when I'm off duty.
Call me George, please. I'm not sure I would have recognised you after all this time.
It's the uniform, so I'm told.
How long can you spare me?
I'm on duty again at 6 in the morning.
Then we can have dinner perhaps somewhere?
I'd love that.
Where, in Dubai somewhere?
Why not? Later perhaps.
Oh, what do we do till then?
I usually go for a swim at this time of the day. It's quite beautiful here.
I can imagine. But I didn't think to bring a bathing costume.
I can borrow one for you. Wait here, shall you a minute?
Oh, turning quite nippy, isn't it?
Oh, the sun's going down. Look at the sky.
Nice.
In about 5 minutes, that whole horizon will turn to gold. This time of the year, it's just magical here. You've never seen anything like it.
Don't tell me you've fallen in love with the place, too.
I love the place, but that's not quite the same thing. I'm not prepared to die for it the way David is.
What? I'm not sure I understand about David.
The last time I saw him...
When was that?
3-4 months ago. He arrived without warning, just appeared out of the desert. All wild eyes and flowing robes. Like one of those pictures of Old Testament prophets you see in children's Bibles.
He didn't make any prophecies.
Only the one he'd always made.
What was that?
About Serapha being a doomed oasis. The way David told it, Serapha could have been the original Garden of Eden.
What?
There are these date gardens flowering in the middle of the desert, irrigated with water piped from the mountains in phalanges.
In what?
Phalanges. That's what David called them.
Yes, but what are they?
Some sort of man-made ducting, as far as I can understand it.
An aqueduct across the desert?
More or less. But underground, of course. And a whole network of them, apparently.
Amazing.
They've been there since Adam, according to David, but now they're crumbling away.
I'm not surprised.
If they could find oil in Serapha, they could afford to repair the phalanges. If not...
It's a doomed oasis.
Yes. The desert will take over, according to David.
Is that what he was doing? Looking for oil?
Yes. That last time he came to see me, he'd just been taken on by Gulf Oman. A short-term replacement for someone who was sick, he said.
Jack Entwistle.
Probably. Anyway, David was over the moon about it. He had unearthed some old geological report that he reckoned was the key to it all.
And you think he was going to use the opportunity to check it out? On the company's time and with the company's equipment?
It would be in character, wouldn't it?
Without his father knowing?
That too, probably. Come on, I'm famished.
So am I.
Have you finished, madame?
Thank you.
Sir?
Thank you. Could we have some coffee, please?
For two?
Please.
The best meal I've had in years.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Didn't you?
Yes, but that could have something to do with the company.
For me, too. Where will you go next?
Back to Bahrain. To see Sir Philip Gord, I hope.
Will you be seeing my father?
Depends. Where is he, do you know?
Serapha, somewhere.
Do you know, that's the first time you said my father. It's always been David's father or his father.
It's difficult to think of him as a father at all. He abandoned my mother the moment he discovered she was pregnant.
At least he made some financial provision for you.
For David? He made financial provision for David, not for me. He's a Muslim, remember? Daughters are not as important.
I don't suppose he knew or even cared, perhaps, whether your mother would produce a boy or a girl. One can hardly blame him for not anticipating twins.
It wouldn't have made any difference, believe me. Look, I've been out here 3 years nearly, and do you know how many times he's been in touch with me?
No.
Once. One single time.
Oh.
There's nothing between us, no feeling of shared blood the way there is... the way there was between David and me.
What about between David and his father? Your father. Was there a bond there?
Not before David came out here. Well, since then, possibly. I don't know. The only reason I came was to be near David. Without him, there's nothing here for me. Certainly not my father.
What will you do now?
Serve out my contract and go home, I suppose.
The coffee, please, madame.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
And could I have the bill, please?
Right away, sir.
How will you get back to Sharjah in the morning? Taxi?
No, the Trucial Scouts have kindly offered me a lift back on the early morning milk run.
How early?
Around 8, they said.
That's not early. Most people have done a day's work by that time.
Thank you.
You are welcome, sir.
Hey, Grant.
Hello, Chuck.
No, don't get out.
Why?
You have a good time?
Yes, fine.
I've got a message for you from Otto. He says, can you meet him at the Gulf Oman office?
Why not? I've nowhere else to go.
Good. Driver, would you take Mr. Grant to the Gulf Oman office?
Yes, sir. No problem.
Thanks.
See you around, Grant.
Bye. Come on.
Oh, Grant, you made it then.
Otto?
Sorry, I'm late.
What's going on? Shouldn't you be in Bahrain?
I thought you wanted to meet Sir Philip Gore.
I do. It's the whole point of me being here in the first place.
Exactly.
So?
I flew him in first thing this morning.
What?
He's waiting for you upstairs, in the local manager's office.
Otto, you're a genius.
Yep.
But how did you do it?
I told him Urquhart had sent you here to meet him.
but I don't think Urquhart really wants me to meet him. Does Sir Philip know that?
Sure he does. Why else do you think he came?
Oh.
I've got him, Sir Philip.
Good. Send him in.
In you go, Mr. Green. And good luck.
Thanks.
And don't wander too far, Otto.
All right, Sir Philip. I'll be having a coffee when you want me.
Very well. Sit down, Mr. Grant.
Thank you.
Seen the paper?
No, not for some days.
War of Whitaker's theory. New oil strike causes border tension. Front page, you're doing?
Of course not. I'm a solicitor.
Otto tells me you were with an Italian.
Ruffini, yes.
A journalist?
Yes. That will be his headline, actually. He was rather proud of it.
Proud of it? Proud of a load of fanciful nonsense that will cause endless trouble? God knows how many lives.
It may not all be nonsense, Sir Philip.
What do you mean?
I don't know, but I think Ruffini is only putting an interpretation on the facts as he sees them.
You mean he's guessing?
Well,
there is no oil in Sarefa, Mr. Grant. Believe me, none whatsoever.
I wouldn't dare disagree with you. I'm no expert.
Agreed. Anyway, why do you want to see me?
I'm acting, as you may know, Sir Philip, as sole executor to the estate of the late David Whitaker.
Yes, I know.
My instructions were to deliver these documents to you in person.
Do you know what this is?
Some sort of concession agreement. I assume that was more or less standard wording.
Yes, yes, that's exactly what it is. He wants me to commit the company to drilling 4 test wells on locations to be supplied by you.
They're in a separate envelope, which I'm to hand over when I have your signature on the concession agreement.
And if I don't sign?
Then I have specific instructions that will be of no further interest to you, I'm afraid.
I see. Yes, there was a time, Grant, there was a time, way back when Charles Whitaker first propounded his wretched theory. I would have signed this without a second thought.
Why not now?
Once bitten. I backed him all the way, and all down the years, and it cost my company an awful lot of money. No one will give this document a second glance anymore. Not Shell, not Aramco. They've all learned by our experience.
So you're not interested?
Let's just say I'm not convinced. A report like this one of young Whitaker's isn't conclusive. Seismology never is. The only way to be sure you're sitting on oil is to sink a well and find out.
Isn't that what Colonel Whitaker is supposed to be doing at this very moment?
What, drilling? Who told you that?
Well, the rumour is that he's been shipping in the equipment to do precisely that.
The man's obsessed with the idea.
At least he's prepared to back his own judgment.
Yes, it rather depends on whether he's drilling on the same location that his son surveyed, and we, at least I, have no way of knowing that. Have I, Mr. Grant?
No.
And there's no chance, no possibility that you would allow me a sight of the location of those 4 test wells?
I'm afraid not, Sir Philip.
Yes, of course, I do understand. But without some foreknowledge, there is just no way I could commit my company to such an agreement.
Those are my instructions, Sir Philip. I'm sorry.
So am I. Well, what will you do now?
Go back to Bahrain, I suppose.
Well, I shall be flying back there this morning, if that's any use to you.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you.
The company owe you that much, at least. We seem to have put you to a great deal of unnecessary trouble.
I'd certainly appreciate it. Transport is the big problem just at the moment.
I can imagine. Perhaps you'd be good enough to warn Otto that you're coming back with us, eh?
Yes, of course.
If you can prise him away from the damned coffee machine, that is.
Where do I find him?
Oh, end of the corridor, on the right.
I'll be right back.
Hello, sport. You all finished?
More or less. You're giving me a lift back to Bahrain, apparently.
Oh, that's fine by me. What time do you want to leave?
He didn't say.
Well, come on, let's ask him.
What time do you want... I believe that's my briefcase, Sir Philip.
Yes. And these are young Whitaker's locations, aren't they?
You had absolutely no right to open that envelope.
What did you expect from me?
I expected you to have just one or two little scruples.
In the oil business?
I'd already said I wouldn't sign. I just might have changed my mind.
Yes, I'll bet.
These locations are slap in the middle of the disputed border area between Sarefa and the Emirate of Hud. And that, as far as the company is concerned, is a no-go area, whatever the small print may say.
I'm reassured.
Well, I'm not. My lack of scruple, as you call it, was prompted by, among other things, a desire to see how near the locations were to the place where David Whittaker's truck was found.
Oh. And how near are they?
Nowhere damned near enough. And that's why I'm afraid I shan't be going to Bahrain after all.
What?
You fueled up, Otto.
Full tank.
Good, let's go. You're welcome to come along if you wish, Grant.
Where are you going?
Zarefa, where else?
You coming or not, Mr. Grant?
Try and stop me.
That was part two of The Doomed Oasis by Hammond Innes, adapted for radio by Rena Basilico, and starring Tim Munro as George Grant. Also featuring Robert Rietti as Ruffini, George Rubicek as Otto Smith, David McAllister as Captain Chuck Berry, Helena Breck as Susan Whittaker, Garard Green as Sir Philip Gord, Nadim Sawalha as the receptionist, and Mohammed Sultan as the driver. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Produced by John Fawcett Wilson.